Buddy, I'm so thankful to be able to speak to you here this morning. If you've got your Bibles and you want to open up to the book of 1 Peter, we're going to be there in just a second. First of all, just let me say thank you. I'll save some more introductory remarks for our next lesson, but I'm glad to be here even though the circumstances are not necessarily ideal. I'm glad to be able to join with you and speak with you here this morning. I'm going to start with a scripture reading from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And I've got this on the screen here, if you can read that. But 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the apostle writes, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I think some other translations there might add, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Peter is such an interesting character in our Bibles. And just recently, not long ago, I had the privilege of being able to study through 1 and 2 Peter in one of our adult classes at Westview, which is where we are, Westview in Hartsel. And one of the things that keeps jumping out as you study through these epistles that Peter wrote is just how qualified he is to say the things that he says in 1 Peter. Now, let me explain what I mean. Of course he's qualified. He's an apostle. He's blessed with gifts from the Holy Spirit. But you have to look at it from the angle that the things that he wrote about in these epistles are things that he learned directly in his life. He's one of the few characters that we have the advantage of being able to see who he was in his early days as he followed Jesus around. We get to see the way he interacted with people. We get to see the mistakes that he made. But then we get to see him as the Apostle Peter, this pillar and foundation of the church. And we get to see how much he grew in wisdom and in knowledge, in faith, in love, and in strength or endurance. And that's kind of what I want to look at with you this morning. The idea, what I have titled this lesson this morning is "Grow Up Already." And I put insert name here. And the idea here is that when I put this lesson together, I make it for myself. And I hope that as you go through this, that you'll be able to take something away from this lesson too. And you'll do what I do. I look at this and it says, "Grow up already, Daniel." And we're going to look at some areas in which Peter grew up and then how I can take those lessons and apply them to myself too. The first one we're going to look at is the idea of growing up in faith and trust. If you want to put your marker in your Bibles around 1 Peter, you may want to do that, because what we'll do this morning is we're going to be jumping back and forth between the Gospels and his epistle in 1 Peter. So I'm going to leave my marker there in 1 Peter, but I'm going to go back to the book of Matthew. And I want to look at a few examples in Matthew's gospel of some things that Peter did. And these will be stories or things that you're familiar with. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 21 through 23. Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's.'" Peter is one of the few individuals who would ever have, I don't know if you want to say the audacity, but to be able to stand in front of Jesus, the Son of God, and point his finger at him and say, "No." Jesus told him exactly what was going to happen, and Peter tried to say the opposite. Peter said, "No, it's not. That's never going to happen." And do you see what Jesus' response to that was? He called him Satan. He told him to get behind me, and he told him that he was a stumbling block, a stumbling stone. Now keep that in mind, because we're going to see that language come up again in Peter's epistle. Another example, if you go over to the next chapter, do you remember the episode of the Transfiguration? Peter and James and John got to witness something that only three human beings ever got to see in this world. He got to see the Lord transfigured. Matthew 17, starting in verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, this was a spectacular thing that Peter witnessed. And the truth is, I don't know if I would have known how to act in that situation either. But Peter's instinct was to, let's just build three tabernacles. Okay, let's build three places to worship. And God said, no, you focus on him. Okay, let's keep going one more time. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 14 this time. And we don't have to read all this. For the sake of time, you know the story of when Jesus came walking to the disciples on water. Again, something that is not physically possible and something that never happened again after this, and that Peter did the same thing. You remember what happened here. Peter walks out to Jesus on the water, and what immediately starts to happen when Peter sees the waves and he sees the thunder and he sees how terrible everything is, what happens to Peter? He starts sinking. Jesus pulls him up and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" In times where Peter really needed to focus, and he needed his faith and his trust to be solely on the Son of God, his focus wavered. His trust in what Jesus was telling him or what Jesus was doing for him wavered. But fortunately for all of us, and for Peter too, he grew from that. Let's look at some lessons that Peter learned from this. Go back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I've got this on the screen, but if you want to read it yourself, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Peter wrote, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" There are several instructions here that Peter gives, and you see exactly how he might have grown from some of the episodes in his earlier life. Look at some of the things that Peter wrote. First, he says, "Prepare your minds for actions." And I know that there are some other translations that will say, "Gird up the loins of your mind," which is an older way of saying, get ready. You have to be prepared because, like Peter, you're going to encounter some things in your life that are going to cause your faith and your focus to sometimes drift a little bit, to sometimes waver. And so he's warning us, each and every one of us, ahead of time, you've got to be prepared. He says, keep sober in spirit, which just means be on the alert, be prepared. He says, set your hope completely on the grace that's coming to you. That means focus. Put your faith and put your trust where it's supposed to be. And do not be conformed to the former lusts. Peter encourages us, take the things that you used to be and put them away. Take the person that you used to be and set it aside, because that person, that's done. And we have to grow. And he encourages us to be holy. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. This is interesting here. Starting in verse 4, Peter writes, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.' This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Think back to what we read in Matthew 16 just a minute ago. Do you see some words that Peter is using here in his epistle that he might be thinking of? Some names that Jesus might have called him in his life that had kind of stuck with him. Do you remember his name was not originally Peter or Cephas? You remember his original name was Simon, but Jesus called him Peter or Cephas. Do you remember what that means? A stone. Do you remember what Jesus called him in Matthew chapter 16? He called him a stumbling stone. He called him Satan. Do you remember that? When Peter tried to rebuke Jesus, do you think that might have stuck with him? I do. I think that might have stuck with Peter, and he took those words and he learned his lesson so that when he writes to us in 1 Peter, he's showing us that he grew from this and that we can too. We need to put our faith and our focus on him. We do this when we believe, when we focus, we take our past self, that person that we used to be, we put it away and we grow and we build on Jesus, that foundation. The next point we'll come up with is growing up in love. Do you remember what happened? I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 2. This is something that the Apostle Paul had to write, and he wrote it about Cephas, about that stone. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. I think I've got this on the screen. I sure do. Starting in verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Do you see what was happening here? This is probably another instance that you're familiar with. Peter came to Antioch, and he spent time with the Gentiles there, which is something he should have been doing. But when certain Jews showed up, what did Peter do? He withdrew. And instead of spending time with those Gentiles like he had been, he started separating himself and spending time with the Jews. And what did that cause? It caused other people to follow suit. And soon, what do you have? You've got a division going on. You've got Jews versus Gentiles, which is the very thing they were fighting to overcome. He's separating people. I don't think he meant to do that, but it happened. And so what we see here is that Peter had a huge influence on those around him. A colossal impact. And that's the same for you and me as well. Sometimes we won't even know the degree to which we impact those around us, but we do it every single day. And this is something that we have to think about and be conscious of. Paul wrote that he had to confront Peter about this behavior because he was creating a bad situation. Look at some lessons that he learned from this. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter now. And bear with me, we're going to build an argument here. I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 17 through 19. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Go with me to chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, you may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. One more. Go over to chapter 4, starting in verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. What I want you to see here is that Peter is emphasizing something several times here. Your time here is short. Because it's short, you need to remember that you're not your own. And because it's short, you need to remember the impact that you have on everybody around you. We need to treat each other with love. We need to take care of each other so that we can all glorify God. By taking care of each other, we're glorifying God. We're loving one another, taking care of each other, because our time here is short. This is what's expected of us. And this is a lesson that Peter would have had to learn. There's an episode, at least one in his life, where he wasn't thinking about other people in the way that he should have. Instead, the people that he was thinking about was the ones he was kind of afraid of a little bit. And so he acted the wrong way and created a problem that he didn't mean to create. So he had to learn and he had to grow. And now he encourages us to do the same thing. He learned what the meaning of agape love. You've heard this term before, agape love. Agape love is that pure, complete, selfless love. It's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. The love that says, I'm going to put you before me. And I'm going to take care of you before me. It's when we give selflessly to one another. And this is a lesson that Peter would have had to have learned. In 1 Corinthians, I put that verse there to show that even Paul experienced the same kind of thing, that as he traveled around and preached, he realized that he had an impact on people around him, but it wasn't just him. He had an impact. Apollos had an impact. Peter had an impact. And as they traveled around and they preached, all of those impacts were working together to glorify God. God's the one that gave the increase there. So we grow up in love when we are determined to have a positive effect on the people around us. And we do this all to the glory of God. One last point. We need to grow up in strength and in endurance. I'm going to go back to the end of the book of Matthew. We're going to look at a few things again that you'll be pretty familiar with here. Matthew chapter 26. You'll remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that it was a terrible, terrible thing that happened to our Lord and our Savior. But he knew it was coming. Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. Look in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 51. You'll remember when the mob came to arrest Jesus. This is starting in verse 51. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword." You remember, you see what's happening here is that, and we know that this is the Apostle Peter. This is one of those exercises where you can put the Gospels together and you can examine exactly what happened, and we see that it was Peter that drew the sword and he cut off the right ear of a man named Malchus, who was a servant of the high priest. Peter did that. And what was Jesus' response? "Put that away." That wasn't the appropriate response for the time. Go back with me a little bit, and then we're going to jump around just a little bit. Do you remember what Peter said to Jesus in that same chapter earlier, before all of that happened? Starting in verse 31, Matthew 26, starting in 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Again, here we have Jesus telling them all exactly what is about to happen. Look at Peter's response. Verse 33, "But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.'" And all the disciples were saying the same thing. You know exactly how this story turns out. You know what happens when Jesus is arrested and when he's taken into trial. you know that around that campfire, Peter is going to lie three times and completely deny that he ever knew that man, just like Jesus told him he was going to do. Do you think he had to learn and grow from that? Absolutely he did. Let's look at one more. Over in John chapter 21, we won't take the... Well, actually, we do. We need to read just a little bit of this. In John chapter 21, Jesus tells something to Peter that he doesn't necessarily want to hear. And what I want you to focus on here, look at verse 18. John 21, verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not to go. Now, he said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And you know what happens next? Peter will turn over and look at John and say, "But Lord, what about him? What about that guy?" Now, don't focus so much on that question. Look at Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In these three examples I've just given you, three times, Peter's in a situation where things are kind of tough. In fact, stress is a little high. He may be experiencing something or being told something that he doesn't necessarily want to hear at that moment. But what does Jesus correct him with every time? "You follow me." When Peter denied Jesus three times, what did the Lord do? He turned and looked at him. I don't think he even needed to say anything. He looked at him. He told Peter exactly what was happening. But when the pressure was high, when the stress was high, Peter made impulsive decisions that were wrong. So one last time, do you think Peter had to grow from that? Absolutely he did. Our time is running short, so we'll go through these fairly quickly. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's going to write that trials aren't necessarily always a bad thing. Do you know what trials do? Peter's going to let us know that trials will test the genuineness of your faith. Did Peter experience that? Yes, he did. Around that campfire, when Jesus had been arrested and was being questioned, Peter had the finger pointed at him, and his faith was tested. The genuineness of his faith was tested. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses that I like to use in nearly every sermon that I preach, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25, Peter writes to the readers and encourages us that we need to be like him in everything. Because what happened when Jesus was arrested? He was beaten, he was mocked, he was falsely accused, he was murdered. But while he was going through all of those things, he did not threaten, he did not revile, he didn't retaliate, but he trusted in God. These are lessons that Peter learned, and now he's able to turn around and coach us, to give us this advice and tell us that you need to do this too. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he's going to talk about how Christ suffered. And when you put away your old self, your former self, and you put on the new self, you're going to experience something just like that. Peter is extremely qualified to encourage us in these areas. In our faith, in our trust, in our love, in our strength, in our endurance. He's qualified because he lived through those things. And I don't want you to think that I'm bashing Peter here, because I absolutely am not. Peter is an example to each and every one of us, because Peter is me. Peter is you. We make mistakes. We choose the wrong thing sometimes. But you know what else we can do? We can learn and we can grow. I'm going to end the lesson here this morning going back to the verse we started with. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you done that this morning? Have you put on Jesus? Are you able to say that I'm able to grow in him because I do trust in him? I have believed in him. If you've not done that, if you've not put on Christ in baptism, I believe now would be a perfect time to do that. Or if you have and you've not grown like you should, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.